Welcome to Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. Greg Richard joined by Judy Sharp once again. Good afternoon, Judy.
Hello, Greg.
Great to see you, Judy. Sorry, just turned your headphones down for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I thought I was going deaf and you were worried about me.
Always just checking up, always making sure. It's right, Judy Sharp. We're in the summer now.
Yes, and we sure are. And I tell you what, it was pretty warm when I left home this morning. Everyone's in the same boat.
Oh, I think it's going to be very warm this afternoon as well, by the look of it.
But did you get any rain last night? We didn't, but this massive cloud stormy came all around the city and the suburbs, but no rain. Thunder and lightning, but no rain.
Yeah, we didn't get any rain either. You could smell it in the air. Someone was getting it, but it wasn't us.
Yeah, no one seems to have that I've checked up with. I always check who's had the rain and who hasn't, so if I need to talk about it.
On Rainwatch?
On Rainwatch. Well, you know, it's an interesting subject, isn't it? Because, you know, my lawn is actually brown, probably because someone mowed it a little earlier and we got the hot day the next day.
Yeah, yep.
But I should be out there putting water in that lawn. I really should now.
Okay.
So the listeners out there that mowed on a hot day or the day before, start pumping a bit of water in.
All right, well, hopefully we'll get a bit of rain tomorrow for it then.
Do you think so?
Well, hopefully. 40% chance, I think it is.
That's all right.
There's only a 10% chance of that, probably. First up today, we've got Bruce from Vacine. He's got a question about the old passion fruit vine. Afternoon, Bruce.
Afternoon, Greg.
Hello, Greg. Sorry. Hang on. First caller. Sorry, Bruce. I've got to get switched on because Greg and I chat, and I'm saying Greg so often. I'm sorry, Bruce. I do apologise.
Not a problem, Judy. Yeah, I've got a passion fruit vine that's been in for about 18 months. I was a bit late putting it in last year for any fruit. I did get a couple of fruit, but it was a bit late in the year. It's not a grafted one, but this year I'm getting flowers and they're just dying on the vine.
Right, you know, okay.
They're just turning brown. They're coming up to a beautiful size flowers and then they just die. They don't fall off early or anything.
It's only the flowers dying, not the leaves at all?
No, leaves are good.
Right, okay. Well, that's a bit of a mystery one, isn't it? You can't see any insects on them at all?
Oh, I've got a few ants and things, and they're climbing up a little, like ants.
Right, okay. And are they getting onto the flowers?
I think so, yeah.
Right, okay. Well, that may be a problem. Well, it could be. Of course, you know, they're looking for anything sweet, of course, and, you know, the flower may taste a bit sweet to them. Have you got any pyrethrum at home?
I can get some.
Yeah, and you know, you get an easy to shoot one. I'd be inclined to spray the flowers with that and it won't do any damage to them.
But
if there's anything apart from the ants around, well, it will probably get rid of those too if they're coming out at night. But Bruce, I'll have a rethink about that and I'll just get you to leave your number with a switch I'll have a big think about that. I've got an idea. It's something nasty. So I want to make sure before I tell you and disappoint you. Any other problems, dear?
Yeah, I've got another one. Just growing a few tomato plants and that. Fruit flies. What's your mix again for the fruit flies and what sort of container?
Okay, remember it's Vegemite.
Yeah.
And Malathon.
Vegemite and Malathon, Malathon's the liquid, is it?
Yeah, and you mix it so it's a spreadable paste. So you can, you know, paint it on your steak, on your tomato steak.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you haven't got tomato steaks in, well, you might just have to...
Yeah, no, I've got steaks.
Well, that's great. I always suggest you paint it while your tomatoes are just, you know, in early stages. But never too late. That definitely attracts the female fly and, of course, that she dies and, you know, that's it. So, Malathon and Vegemite.
Vegemite and Malathon. Okay, so regularly or just one-off or...?
Oh, look, obviously it will dry and won't be as toxic. Well, not toxic, but won't be as attractive to the fruit fly. So I would repaint it. You know, you'll have plenty of Malathon and... You know, Marmite or Vegemite's not that expensive, really. No. I'd do it again. You know, if you go out and you think, oh, it's really dried off and I'm still having problems, well, give it another go.
Okay, that's great. Thanks for that.
Thank you, Bruce. I'll give you a buzz back.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, bye.
It's probably always an idea to have a separate Vegemite jar as well, one for your toast and one for one for your mallet, because you don't want to get it mixed up.
But you know what I bought the other day? You know how the honey comes in an easy squeezy?
Yep.
You can get Vegemite in that now.
Really?
Yeah, so you don't have to, you know, try and get it on a knife and put it on your toasty. You go, squirt, squirt.
Well, there you go. What an age we live in.
You know, we can give out so much advice here, Greg, can't we?
We can have your squeezy one for your marathon and your spreadable one for your
toasty. Yeah, of course, yeah, easy peasy.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. Kevin from Mirrabooka, and he's got a problem with Monsterio Delicioso. Is that right?
Monsterio Delicioso, that's correct,
yes. Oh, close.
Yeah, fabulous plant. Hello, Kevin, can I help you?
Hi, Judy. Yes, it's a fairly old plant. Well, we've only just moved here, but the plant's been here for a fair while by the size of it. It's about 2.5 metres long, the trunk of it. And it's got over half a dozen fruit spikes on it. And they open up on occasion and show this long white internal stalk inside them. Then they close back up, the fruit spikes that come out the base of the leaves.
Right, okay. So, Kevin, have you ever encountered a Monsterio Delicio before?
Yes, yeah. Oh, many years ago.
Okay, so you know what the fruit looks like, and that doesn't sound to me like it's fruiting, is it? Well, it is, and isn't.
They've closed back up. They've grown bigger, and then three of them I just noticed today have gone completely brown and rotten and fell off.
Right.
Mushy, rotten.
Yeah.
I just don't know what's caused it. Whether it was too much rain or not enough rain or.
Yeah, well, we have had a lot of rain. I mean, they generally grow like a weed, don't they? And they fruit like a weed as well. And, you know, you have to be a little careful, Kevin, that you don't eat too much of it. And
It tastes a bit like fruit salad.
It does, and when you start eating it, you can't stop, can you?
Yes.
We won't.
That was 50 years ago when I had one before, yeah.
Well, Kevin, you might like to tell the other listeners what happens if you eat too much. I won't.
I didn't have that problem. I only got to eat a couple.
Okay, now, so we've got the fruit comes up, but it opens up, and then it closes back up again. So you know what it looks like when it's fruiting, don't you?
When it opens up, it's just a slender white stalk in there.
Oh, okay. It
doesn't look like
it's not going to fruit.
You know, it's original. You know, but then it closes back up and oozes sticky white sap out of the leaf, out of the cone,
and then it goes brown.
And then a couple of weeks later, they just went completely brown and soft and rotten and fell off.
Yeah. Right, okay. Well, all I can think of, Kevin, is its age. Maybe it's just getting too old and it's trying to have babies. I'm wondering
I thought they may open up to be pollinated or something like that.
Well, that could be so.
And they may not be getting pollinated, and therefore they're just sort of dying off and falling off.
Well, I mean, normally you don't need a male and a female, so have you got any bees around the area? People seem to be very short on bees at the moment.
Oh, I haven't noticed many at all.
Yeah.
I've got a patch of tomatoes in and beans and... And they're fruiting quite well, so there must be something. Although tomatoes do self-pollinate.
Yeah, they do, Look, I think you're on the right track. I'm wondering if maybe, you do cut them off when they go brown, don't you?
Yeah, I just pulled them off this morning when I noticed them.
Yeah. Look, I'd leave them on when they first come out and when they open and just, you know, keep an eye out and see if the bees do come around. But I think you're on the right track saying that, They're probably looking for pollination and at the moment, if you haven't got a lot of bees around, that's not going to happen, is it?
No. Mm. Okay, well, thanks for your thoughts, Judy.
I'm really sorry. There's no easy answer to this one, is there?
No.
if anyone rings in, well, I'll get back to you, Kevin, and let you know. Someone will have an answer for us, don't worry.
Yeah. Well, they don't flower, Sue. They just send out the fruit spike.
Yeah.
So how they get pollinated, I don't know. There's no male or female fruit spike.
No, look, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that one. But we had one at the nursery growing on the side fence, and it always had fruit on it, and I don't ever... No, not at all. And there was only one vine, so it didn't have, you know, another one trying to be friendly with it. Okay, Kevin.
Thanks,
well, stay listening. Someone will probably ring for us.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Kevin. We've got Jo from Lemon Tree Passage, and she's got rust on her roses.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no, Jo. No. So what have you tried?
We use rose spray, black spot and insect killer from Brunnings, and Echo Oil.
Right, okay. Look, I'm wondering if you just sprayed it with a fungicide itself, but that's what you have done, haven't you?
Yes.
Was that mixed up and ready to spray, or did you have to mix it up?
Oh, I'm going to have to ask Cubby that question. I think he mixed it up. Unless he used the rose spray for the black spot and insect killer from Brunnings, he sprayed them. They lost all their leaves.
He's coming in now.
With they all three roses. I've got three roses, a Mr. Lincoln, a Just Joey and Double Delight.
Right, all beautiful roses.
Oh, I know, and the fragrance is beautiful, but Mr. Lincoln's doing the best out of the three of them.
Yeah, it's a hardy one, that bloke.
Yeah.
Okay, so all I can suggest to you in this case is that you actually maybe make it a little bit stronger.
Okay.
Does your hubby agree with that? Is he shaking?
Yeah, he just came in and he said they were both pre-mixed.
They were pre-mixed. Okay, rightio. Well, that answers my question. I think you need to go out and see if you can find a fungicide that's not pre-mixed. Something like Mancozeb.
How do you spell that?
M-A-N-Z.
Yep.
M-A-N-C-O-Z-E-B.
C-O-Z-E-B. E-B.
Yeah.
Okay.
And... good luck. I think that's what you need to do to spray with. The ready-to-mix probably aren't as strong as if you mix it up yourself.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
Thank you, Judy, very much.
Good luck with that, Jo. Let me know in a couple of weeks if that worked for you, dear.
Thank you very much.
We're going on holidays in a couple of weeks.
Next week's our last show, so...
Yeah, so let me know next week, Jo.
We'll have to wait till next year. It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. If you've got a question, 4921 6216. We've got Phil from Sunshine, and he's got a question about lawn leaf spray.
Hello, Phil.
G'day, Judy. I followed your recommendations on to get rid of broadleaf by using bin dye.
Yeah.
I had quite after a beetle attack on the lawn, I had a large crop of weeds came through.
Right.
That's been quite successful. I was just looking out the window and I missed a few spots, which I'll have to do a bit of spraying. But I forgot to write down what you suggested as the follow-up to fertilise.
Oh, right, okay. What kind of lawn have you got, Phil? Just jog my memory, do you?
Predominantly couch.
Okay, couch. Look, I think if you just use a number 17, it should be all right.
Okay, I thought it was just a greener.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Look, yeah, because you do need to give it a bit of fertiliser now, don't you? But
Yeah.
You're going to have to watch the weather though, because it's fairly hot. You know, hence why we do the fertilising in spring. The only other way you could go is use a pelleted fertiliser, but then you've got to, you know, wait till that dissolves. So no, look, I'd see if you can get old fashioned number 17.
I've used that some time ago, Okay, and just water it in.
And water it in well. And, Phil, what I would do, I would actually water the grass before you apply it.
Okay.
Relieve the shock and maybe do it late in the afternoon too, so you're not getting burning.
Okay, then, because I've got quite a few brown spots there where the old broadleaf's been killed off.
Yeah, so you want it now to start shooting off there, so... good luck with that, and I think that's the answer, Phil.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for the call. Bye.
Right, bye.
We've got Lynette from Bottles Bay, and she's got some thoughts about roses. Afternoon, Lynette. Lynette.
Hello, Lynette.
Hi, Judy. Well,
help me out. So have you got some answers, have you?
I'm being taught to me by my mum and made through observation. If our roses are in a protected area where there's shade and no wind, the dew of our season, it actually increases the risk of the black spot. But if we were living in Melbourne or South Australia, Adelaide, the foliage would be abundant and glorious foliage as well as the magnificent flowers.
Because so really, they aren't subject to black spot.
We are fighting against the humidity in our area. We can put the nanazole on it, as you recommended, to kill a fungus, but really we're fighting against the climate.
Well, this is true, Lynette, but... in some areas, in this area that we cover, not everyone would have humidity. It's mainly here on the coast, I think, where we get a lot of rain. We get the humidity, and I'm just trying to remember now where that lady lived. I think...
I can't remember.
No, I can't either, but I don't think humidity was her problem, Lynette, but you are right. And thank you for ringing about that. Mine suffer with humidity because I'm right on the coast.
If they're out in the open without actually colobond fences or brick walls, and you have an open fence that lets all the air through, my neighbours have a very nice day in here with our Bonnell Bay right next to the lake.
Right, okay. Yeah, well, mine are out in the open. I get a bit of salt wind too, so that probably damages mine. But, Lynette, thank you very much. You've brought up a very interesting point about the humidity.
Thanks. Pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Lynette. Bye.
We've got Bob now from Cameron Park, and he's got some thoughts on lawns as well from our previous call. Afternoon, Bob.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you, Bob. Are you going to give us some help?
Yeah, hi, Judy. I've got Nara grass, which is very similar to couch, and I've given it a couple of doses of sulfate of ammonia and really water it in. And last week, I had to mow the grass, which is about 3 inches tall, and it took, I've got a battery now, and I had to do two batteries to get it done. So it does grow.
Right. So you use sulfate of ammonia to make it grow.
It goes super green.
Right, okay. But you do have to be a bit careful of that in the heat, Bob, don't you?
Yeah, but you make sure it's damp first before you put it on. Afterwards, hose it, have soaker hoses. You can't get much better than soaker hoses to water the grass anyway.
Yeah, and tell me now, you can't buy very big bags of sulfate, can you?
25 kilo? 25? Out a cart of produce.
Right, okay. Rightio.
And probably at Westie too. I'm not sure about Westie, but Cardiff Produce does have it, and it's about $45 a bag.
Right, okay. Because you know why I questioned that, because sometimes it's very restricted now for obvious reasons. So, right, that's interesting. So they can buy it at Cardiff.
Yep, for sure.
Okay, thank you for the call, Bob. I really appreciate it.
Okay, no worries.
Thank you, bye.
Bye.
Phil from Bottles Bay. And you might have some advice about lawns with using sulphate of ammonia. Afternoon, Phil.
G'day, how you going?
Well, you're very well, Phil, and thank you for the call. What can you help us with?
Well, I've been using sulphate of ammonia for years, and it's great gear. It kills, you put it, what the other chap did, you soak it and put it on, but it kills off bindies, clover, and dandelions as well, and it doesn't kill the grass.
No, it is wonderful. But I was just talking to Greg off air then. I find you're safer to use it in spring, don't you agree?
Yeah.
Not as much chance of it burning.
Yeah, end of September, October, because the bindies come out and all the other pests and whatever. But I'd start using them and you just water it properly. It's good when it's raining. Fantastic.
Definitely. Well, thank you for the call, Phil. And well, I'm glad you agree with me that you do need to use it before the hot weather comes out. Today, your lawn would get burnt with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But if you get in early and matures, and yeah, it goes like wildfire.
Okay, thank you, Phil, for backing me up.
Lovely to speak to you.
Cheers. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you.
Annette from Cameron Park, and she's got asking for some tips about looking after indoor plants while she's away on holidays.
Hello, Annette, and how long are you going? How long are you going for?
Hi, Judy. I'm going away for nearly 3 weeks.
Right, okay.
For a while.
Okay, so is it somewhere exotic that we need to know about?
Going to Japan.
Oh, okay. Ooh, yeah. Wonderful nice holiday.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Oh, that's lovely. Okay, now we've got all your personal information. I hope you don't mind.
I'll meet you at the airport.
Sounds wonderful. Can Greg come too?
Absolutely. I'm sure there was fair seed.
Okay, now you want some indoor plants, right? So Okay, now what I do just before you leave is go around with a spray bottle and spray all the foliage.
Okay.
And that, you know, might set them up ready for you. You haven't got anyone that's going to come and give a water halfway through or something?
Well, I could ask. We've got lovely neighbours, so I could ask one of the neighbours. I didn't want to be too, you know, intrusive and say, look, we're going away for 3 weeks. Can you come and water the plants every second day?
But I
could get someone, you know, to duck in probably once a week for me, no problem.
Once a week.
Should be okay.
Yeah, once a week would be
great.
I'm
finding with the heat it's a bit much. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But the other thing is, the other secret is put some water in your bath, not real deep that you're going to drown them, and put all your indoor plants in that and they will suck up from there.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
How's that?
That. Thank you for that, because I've got about 20.
Oh, right. Well, I hope you've got a big bath.
I've got a lot. But, I mean, some of them are in the self-watering pot.
Right. Yep.
But the bigger ones, obviously, they're not.
Yep.
So they would be the ones I would definitely put in the bath. I've had them for a long time and I don't want to see them die. Yeah. But that's a great idea. Thank you.
And any maiden hairs?
No, but I do have, and I'm not very good with plants, so I apologise in advance, like what names they are. Some of the hanging ones down, they're not ferns, though. They look like they're spiky little green tubular things, if that helps you.
Oh, of course, yes. Well, I can tell you, Annette, those green tubular things don't need a lot of water.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's in a self-watering pot, so if I just maybe
Fill it up, you'll
be right.
Do the spray. Do the spray just before you leave, and that will keep them going for a few days anyway.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah. Oh, the bath idea is great. I feel so much better now.
And you really enjoy your holiday, and give us a ring and let us know if they're alive when you get back and tell us how good the holiday was.
I'll let you know. Have a Merry Christmas, and I'll talk to you in the new year.
Oh, thank you, Annette, and you have a lovely time over there.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks, Judy. Bye.
Thanks, Annette. We've got Monique now from a new lantern, and she's got a big pot, and she's after a couple of tips on what herbs you can put into it.
Oh, right. Okay. Hello, Monique.
Hi, Judy.
What can I help you with? Anything in particular? Any particular herbs you like?
We would love to. We love coriander.
Right.
And basil, and we like most herbs, but we're just not sure what would actually go together and what kind of soil that I would actually get. We're pretty new to gardening, but we're excited to do it and want to set ourselves up for success.
Yes, okay, let's go for it. Well, my theory is, Monique, you always buy the best potting mix available.
Okay, so premium.
Yep, premium, definitely premium. And you know, coriander can be a difficult little devil.
Ah.
Yeah, and depending on the size of the plant and the size of your pot, how many you can fit in it, I would always plant Italian parsley and and definitely some basil. Now, keeping in mind that the basil will die off, but your parsley should keep going.
Okay.
And coriander, you could try it. But, you know, most things, most herbs will grow well at this time of year. But are you keen enough to go out, seeing you're telling me you're fairly new at this, are you keen enough to go out and fertilise, say, once a week with a liquid fertiliser?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Just make it a quick note. Flourish. Flourish.
Flourish.
That's the brand name, Flourish. And you will find one that is for herbs and fruiting.
Okay.
And
all
you
right.
use that once a week.
Okay, and so some parsley would go well, and I can add basil and try coriander too.
You can, definitely. But, you know, I'd suggest that you put in rosemary, but then that goes fairly big too.
But you can just trim it back?
You can, of course. Yes, definitely.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, that's kind of some ideas. Thank you very much, Judy.
You're welcome, Monique. And it's lovely to hear you calling us about that today. And it sounds like you knew it a little bit, so I'd love to hear back from and you see. Let us know how effective it is.
Sure, I will.
Okay, thanks, Monique. Bye.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. Hopefully, it must be a big pot.
It sounded like it was, but then there are big pots and, you know, say a wine barrel.
Yep.
We used to always plant a wine barrel out with herbs.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, but
I don't think she's got a wine barrel.
I don't
barrel.
Think so. Also, too, you know, when... Anyway, I gave her some hints, but I think without seeing the pot that the rosemary might go too big.
It tends to get quite big.
Oh, it does, yeah. So I thought, should I? And I thought, yeah, we'll go for broke. Because if she'll ring back, I hope she does, we'll be able to sort that out then.
Perfect.
Yep.
Always thinking ahead with further questions. Judy Sharp, well, thanks very much. We'll be back again next Monday for the last one for the year.
The last one. Oh, sad.
2NURFM 103.7.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.